In the name of Jesus, the very wisdom of God, amen. I'd like to look this morning at our Old Testament reading, Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs is a wonderful book of wisdom for daily life. And as you probably noticed, wisdom is a theme that runs throughout our readings today. Especially we find it in our second reading from the New Testament book of Ephesians. We are to not walk as unwise, but as wise. Walking in the way of insight. Insight. In sight of God and in sight of others. Let's start with in sight of Proverbs chapter 9, from our first reading today. It begs the question, what does it mean to live wisely? We often might think of living faithfully, and wisdom, you could think of it this way, is faith applied in daily life. One of the most obvious places then to go for faithful and wise living is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book we don't often hear about on Sunday mornings, but in my time as pastor, it's a book that church members love to have daily. It's fun to take a proverb each morning and apply it to the day ahead. It's a book that grows on you with age. Our reading really focuses today on what it means to live wisely. And the rest of chapter 9, we keep that in sight, focuses on wisdom and the opposite of wisdom to help give us insight into this. To live wisely and to live foolishly. It seems like an easy choice. Who would want to live foolishly? Our Old Testament reading personifies it. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, Proverbs chapter 9. We'll begin inside of the larger context of Proverbs 9, Lady Folly, foolishness. We hear a great description of her beginning in verse 19. Loud, ignorant, know-nothing. She calls the simple to turn in here without sense. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. At first it's loud, kind of like so much around us. Being loud, we think, might force us to pay attention. Might makes right. Louder arguments might win an argument, or so we think. We demand to be heard. That's the start for foolishness. To be noticed. To do anything to get our attention. Trying to go straight on our way to live wisely, this foolishness calls out loudly to us, invites us to a feast, it says. A feast of stolen water, bread eaten in secret. Stolen water seems to symbolize the shortcut, doesn't it? An easy way, a quick fix. This is often tempting. No one will really notice. It's just water, after all, so ordinary. Lady Folly makes her appearance with shortcuts, secret encounters, secret actions, enticing perhaps, but never really wise, not built on any sure foundation. Lady Wisdom then appears in the beginning of Proverbs 9. And as with Lady Folly, Lady Wisdom invites us to a meal too. They both have meals. It's a different kind of meal, not a meal of stolen water or secret bread, but a meal of wine, which is better than water, and bread which has been homemade, prepared, made yourself. Think about the contrast here. There's no shortcut to making wine. If you've ever made it, it takes a long time to press and perhaps enjoy. It's a total opposite of stolen water. It requires planning ahead from grapes to cup, patience, persistence, all the things that foolishness abhors. And the bread that Lady Wisdom offers, unlike the bread eaten in secret, is eaten in the house together with everyone, homemade for everyone to have pride in and enjoy. It's in strong foundation. Everyone receives it. Everyone knows that it's made by hand. And you can almost taste that effort. Well, we see the contrast, don't we? In sight of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. At the heart of Proverbs 9, there's a contrast between the two. In the ancient world, right, the lady of the house ran the economy of the house. ran everything, invited those in. And here we have that contrast of two different houses or ways of living in the world. You can think of it as an economy of wisdom or an economy of foolishness. And the word economy actually comes from household. Proverbs chapter 9, we have this two ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. We might think of this as an aspect of faith, that God is God and we are not. And although that puts us in our place, it also liberates us to realize that God is the one who covers us and creates us and sustains us and provides for us. This is a fear to reverence and awe and respect. After all, isn't fear to be wise, to be respectful to the one who created us? Or put it differently, what would the opposite of this be? The opposite of respecting the Lord. Completely unafraid of God. Shameless. Wouldn't that be a foolish thing to do? And it's a very lonely course of action when God is not there for you. To fear God is to take God seriously. This is where true wisdom begins. We really want to look at wisdom in God's word, though. We go deeper than Proverbs. Christians don't stop there. Our second reading picks it up with walking in the light of Jesus. We should go one step further and note the fact that Lady Wisdom invites us to a very familiar banquet. And for centuries, Christians have seen in Lady Wisdom a type, a figure, a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, who it says in the New Testament is the very wisdom of God, in whom all things hold together. And what does our third reading say? It's a way of insight into Jesus, who is the very bread of life, which we receive through the insight of faith. A forever relationship with God our Father through Jesus, the one he has sent to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where Jesus gives us his bread and his body and his drink and his blood that we receive in faith, that we would have insight for living. Because for us, Jesus is wisdom personified. It's not just a parable or a story anymore. It's in person. Jesus labors and sacrifices his life on the cross to provide true bread of life for us. He invites all who are hungry, everyone, to come to him. And he knows that when this food gives out, his food will last to eternal life. To take up his yoke, to follow him, his burdens are light. And that we find in him the way of wisdom that God provides, and Jesus gives us eternal life, and the Spirit keeps it all together. When we as Christians think about living wisely, you might say we actually end up in the same place, don't we, as living faithfully. We end up with Jesus. It is Jesus who invites us to live wisely by coming and learning from him. It's a way of insight. Christians have used fancy language to describe this over the centuries. The Latin phrase is coram Deo, coram mundo. But it's really quite simple and beautiful. Latin precisely says what takes more words in English, but it says this. The coram Deo is before God. We have access to the Father. Before God, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Before God, we have the power of the Spirit. Before God, death is but a momentary interruption of eternal life. Before God, we are children of the Lord. Coram Deo. And before others, coram mundo, before the world. Well, we walk by faith, not by sight. We live in a very loud world, a world which goes its own way. We realize that we have those same tensions and struggles in our hearts. We struggle to always see ourselves as God sees ourselves, as forgiven and redeemed and loved. And so we walk before others. And when we walk before others, we keep in mind how God sees us, the insight from God, how he sees us in us, right, by faith. And we walk before others, that they, in the sight of others, that they would see in us. How does Jesus put it? Our Heavenly Father at work. That they would see our good works, our faithfulness, our day-to-day honesty, our patience, our forbearance, our love, our vocations. Not shortcuts, but the way of going the long haul in faith and in goodness. That they would see in us mercy and compassion and find insight into the very heart of God who gives us Jesus Christ, his own Son, the very wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. Amen.